So given that tonight is all about film and that I work for a media organization, it only makes sense that I'm here, right? No. I actually have no background in film whatsoever, and I'm really bad at talking about it. So I can understand if you might feel a little gypped, but unfortunately that's exactly the same way that my students felt the first time that I was tasked with co-facilitating a discussion about police-youth interactions in Baltimore. I was young, a bit naive, and very, very nervous. And if you've ever worked with young people, you know that they are very good at picking up on that, which is exactly why my student, with righteous anger, looked me dead in the face and said, "Miss Tia, you will never understand what it's like to be afraid of the police." I took a deep breath because I understood exactly where her anger was coming from. You see, when you grow up with having the people that are meant to protect you be the exact people that are causing you the most harm, you begin to feel trapped. And you begin to feel trapped in your own mind because your mind turns into a theater of sorts. And instead of the smell of popcorn and lots of people and your favorite film being played, instead, your mind begins to play reenactments of your own personal trauma. And the sounds are very real. And the visuals are very real. And the feeling of terror and fear, they're very real. And so I understood her anger because I too have a theater in my mind. I mean, we all do. But the theater in my mind, like hers, plays my own personal reenactments of trauma. And before I knew it, my mind was playing a film of my own trauma. And for the first time in my life, I began to narrate that film out loud to the class. When I was 3 years old, my mom and I were sitting at the kitchen table for breakfast, when all of a sudden, our door is knocked in by the police. And there are so many of them that even if I could count that high, I was 3 years old, I wouldn't be able to keep track. And they're shouting and throwing our stuff all around. And my mom, this bigger-than-life personality woman, she becomes silent. And so my lungs become her lungs, and I yell for her. I say, "Leave my mommy alone." A particularly emboldened officer gets in my mom's face, and he yells, "Just tell us where the drugs are." And so my legs move faster than I can think, and I take my fists and I beat them against that officer's knee. And he grabbed me by the wrist, and he grabbed my brother, and he dragged us up to the bathroom on the second floor and locked us in from the outside. And my brother began to cry. And I took my fists and I beat them against the bathroom wall, and I said, "Leave my mommy alone." And my brother cried so hard that I thought that we might drown in his tears. And the next time that I saw my mom, her eyes were black and blue. An officer, a protector of the peace, had taken his giant fists and hit my mom's beautiful face. And then all of a sudden, that film started to end, and I started to come back to reality. And I looked at my student, and her jaw is dropped. And in that moment, I saw the importance of sharing personal stories. Because up until that moment, I had never talked about my personal life. I really didn't see a point. It was hard, and I just didn't want to talk about it. But seeing her look back at me, I realized something. You know, when you grow up black in America, you realize that every system that is put in place to protect you is actually there to keep you exactly where you are. From the criminal justice system, to housing, to healthcare, to the public school system. In short, the U.S. really doesn't give a shit about black people. And when you grow up, you know that to be exactly the case. And for her to hear someone that she thought was white say that, that meant a lot. But I'm not white. I mean, my dad's white and my mom's black. But I guess for the sake of tonight, I'll speak from my white side a little bit, if that's okay. And by my white side, I mean statistics. That was a joke. Because I know that was a joke. Because I know that white people love statistics. So I'm going to talk about it for a little bit. So I went to a website. You guys might know these people. They make a lot of ice cream, Ben and Jerry. Well, they have this really cool article about systemic racism. And so one thing that they have on there is that the African-American population, it's 13%, right? But somehow they represent 40% of the prison population. Doesn't make sense, right? So if you're in that camp that when you hear Black Lives Matter, you still are shouting All Lives Matter, please stop that. Just stop. Because it's not just for adults. The systemic racism impacts our young children, okay? So preschoolers, 18% are African American, but somehow they represent 50% of suspensions? That doesn't make any sense, right? So even our young, innocent children do not get a fair chance in America. And if you're Black in America, you don't need a statistic to prove that to be a fact. And so I can't change the world, right? I can't make poverty go away. But what I can do is speak openly and authentically about how America really is. And I can also use my white privilege to make sure that students are connected to meaningful, sustainable employment. Why? Because the unemployment for Black Americans is twice that of white Americans. And the really cool thing about my job at White Angle Youth Media, please check us out on social media, is that I am able to do that every day. I'm able to work with young people and help them transform their stories of trauma by using mine as an example and turn them into ones of triumph. And I'm also able to connect them to my favorite part of my job, is to connect them to meaningful, sustainable employment. But, you know, the work that I do is not easy. But if my mom ever gets a chance to listen to this, I want her to know that I do this work for her. My mom was seen as lazy, a criminal, and a problem. And even though the criminal justice system failed her and made her be taken away from me, she still taught me how to be strong. And even though after that incident happened, she was put in prison. And even though she eventually became addicted, she's still my biggest inspiration. Thank you for loving me, Mom.